want you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. The other part of your scripture you don't have to turn to. You just need to look at the front of your announcements. It's the same passage we've been dealing with for the last couple of times that we've had on Sunday morning. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And I'm going to read that. And then we'll be in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 for the rest of the message. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived." And here's the phrase we want to deal with this morning. God is not mocked. We took 2 weeks to look at "be not deceived." This morning, God is not mocked. "For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." When the Bible says here that God is not mocked, that doesn't mean that someone can't actually mock God with their lips or with their lives. We know this because, as we're going to see from Scripture this morning, people have been mocking God for quite some time. But they're not getting by with it. Okay? They've been mocking God from the very beginning, and there are many who are still mocking Him even today. We know we live in a time of scoffers, don't we? We know that they are all around us. And there are many who are mocking Him who go on in their sin, unrestrained, and they're unrepentant. And they're thinking that somehow they are getting by with their sin, and that they will not have to give an answer to God one day for their sin. Well, they're wrong. Okay? God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, and He tells the context there. When it says here, God is not mocked, it shows what it means by the next statement. "For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." In other words, payday's going to come someday. Amen? You may try to mock God. You know, sometimes we mocked people, didn't we? I mean, you know, when we were growing up, we'd make fun of our folks. Wasn't very nice, especially when your brothers, you know. And I was a little bit faster than my older brother. And I go, "Nah, nah, 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 you can't catch me." And, you know, I was mocking him. You know, every now and then he'd catch me. But he'd catch me. It was not because he got faster than me. It's because he got a little bit smarter at one time than that. But we mock. And I want you to understand that what it means is you're not going to get by with it. God's not successfully mocked. God is going to have the last say in the matter. Now, you know, just because God is long suffering, some folks get the idea he's not going to take care of it. Just because God's long suffering, don't get the idea that God isn't there. You know, some people say, "Well, you know, if there was a God, you know, this wouldn't be going on. There is no God." Well, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Two places in Scripture it says it, in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1. Just because God's long-suffering, don't get the idea that God isn't aware. God knows what's going on. You don't go to any place where God is not. Psalm 139, we'll see it a little bit later when we'll turn to the passage of Scripture that talks about it in Psalm 139. But God knows what's going on in your life. Just because God's long-suffering, don't get the idea that God doesn't care. It says in Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now, when a soul sins, and they don't immediately die, they want to mock God and say, "It's not true." Hey, it's coming. It's coming. And when it says here that God is not mocked, I want you to understand what it's talking about. And we go back to the beginning. I want to go back this morning, go back to where it began in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1, we see that Satan was the very first person to mock God. And he mocked God to Eve. We see that in verse number 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, he shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So we'll leave off reading there. I want you to understand, you know, Satan is a person. He is a person. He was created as an angelic being. Now, he's a fallen angel, but nevertheless, he was an angelic being. And Satan's mocking of God actually came from his self-will. He's full of pride as his problem. And we could turn, I'm not going to turn this morning, we've seen it recently, Isaiah 14 verses 12 through 15, the I wills of Satan, I will ascend into heaven, I will be like the Most High God. The mocking there that went on with him and his what he said that he was going to do. But Isaiah 46, verse number 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Understand, Satan is miserably failed to become like God because there's only one. It's only one God. And Satan is not him, and never will be him. But I want you to see Satan's mocking of God is the first mentioned in Scripture. Those of you that were with us many years ago when we studied how to interpret Scripture, one of the principles that we used was the first mention principle. And the first mention principle says when you find something first mentioned, you need to really pay close attention to it because you'll find that there's certain threads of that that will go throughout Scripture when it speaks of that particular thing. And what we have here is we have Satan mocking God in chapter 3 and verse number 1, there when he says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now I want you to get this because it's so vitally important. Satan's first mocking of God on earth had to do with God's Word. It had to do with God's Word. And I tell you, that's where mocking God comes in at. All throughout Scripture. He's still at it today, still trying to get folks to not accept what the Lord says in His book. Now, understand at this point that all that God had given to man of His Word is found in two verses. And that's Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. Let's take a look at it. This is all the Word of God that Adam and Eve had. Only command they had. Verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, notice, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not a whole lot of the Word of God, is it? but enough for Satan to take and use to mock the Lord. I want you to note that God's Word began with giving man liberty. Our God is a good God. All the time He's a good God. And He is a good God who, when He created everything, He saw to it that it was all good. Look at the very last verse of chapter number 1. Genesis 1, the very last verse. And this is after the 6 days of creation. So then God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now listen, ever since the Garden of Eden, people have tried to blame God for all the bad things going on in the world. You ever heard somebody do that? Yeah, happens all the time. And who do you think is behind that? It's Satan. Satan likes to mock God, and he'll point people to what's happening in the world. And who's to blame for all that's happening in the world? Well, he was behind man's sin. So if you want to go to where it originated with Satan. But of course, Adam and Eve were the first man and woman to sin. Realize that all the bad stuff came after Satan mocked God and deceived Eve here into sinning against God. Now, let's just put it on the level of the trees that God created. I want you to think about that. Think of all the many different trees in the world, especially those that have fruit and nuts, you know, the things that you can eat fruit off of. Think of all the different fruit trees that are in the world that came from God's creative act. And, you know, His creative act is told about in Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12. Look at Genesis 1, verse 11. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed." And here it is, "and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." And that was on the third day, according to verse 13. The third day of creation, God created the fruit, and He created it for man to be able to eat. We see that God's liberty was given to man in Genesis 2, verse number 8 and 9. As after God created Adam, remember it says that God put him in the Garden of Eden. Look at Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow." Notice this. "The Lord made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil." See, so God put man in the garden. He's got available to him every fruit tree. Even He's got available to him the tree of life. God's liberty included every tree but one, and His liberty even extended to the tree of life. They could have eaten of the tree of life had they wanted to. God's command to mankind, His prohibition, if you will, revolved around the fruit of just one particular tree. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God's word of command there in Genesis 2, verse 6 and 7, that we saw it, that which was the only word that man had from God at the time. Adam and Eve, that's all they had, those two verses. God gave it to Adam and shared with his wife Eve, but they have those two verses. But that is where Satan began to mock God. I want you to see that Satan mocked God by questioning His word. "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree?" Who was behind mankind's questioning of God's word? You know, in her heart, Eve began to question, didn't she? Who was behind that? It wasn't God. Satan's the one that did that. And who do you think is behind mankind's questioning of God's Word throughout the ages, including today. Well, it's Satan. You can just follow up right through the line, and it goes back to the fall. It goes back right here. Satan mocked God by questioning His Word. Secondly, Satan mocked God by challenging His Word. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Wait a minute. What did God say? That is in direct opposition to what God said. He's challenging. He said, you know, God said that, but He didn't mean it. God said, "Thou shalt surely die," but He didn't really mean it. He challenged the veracity or the truthfulness of God's Word. Is that still happening today? Big time. Happens every time they come out with a new version of Scripture. You know, all the proliferation of all the perversions of Scripture in our day that are given under the guise of clarifying the Scripture. Do they clarify the Scripture? No. They change God's Word into something it does not say. That's what they do. They confuse. And they change. They obfuscate. I mean, they just make a mess out of it is what they do. Satan mocked God also by both his lies and his half-truths about God. Look at verse number 5. Now he's going to teach them something about God here. Now what did they know about God? Well, God's been good to them, has He not? They know that God created them. They know that. And they know God put them in the garden. And they know that God has been abundantly gracious to them and given them all those trees to eat out of. But what does Satan do with that? Verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In other words, God is holding out on you. God ain't told you everything. Huh? Is that still happening today? Yep. You know, there are false religions and cults often mix truth with error to make it more palatable. And we see here, he did have some truth in here. Were their eyes opened? Yeah, their eyes were opened. Did they come to know good and evil? Yeah. But did they become as gods? No. He took some truth, mixed it with error. And that's exactly what you see time after time again in false religions and cults. So Satan was the first person to mock God, but it didn't stop there. We see here, secondly, that mankind, we're talking about Eve and Adam, were the second to mock God. Eve mocked God by adding to His Word. Now notice there in verse 2 and 3, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." True or false? Partially true. God said, you shouldn't eat of it. But she kind of gives some hyperbole. She expands on what God said. Said, neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say that. What did God say? Yeah. He told, you know, don't eat of the tree. Later, the Lord would codify in His Word that you don't add to His Word. Eve mocked God here by adding to His Word. Listen to Deuteronomy 4, verse number 2. It says, "Ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32 says, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Clear or not clear? Clear, right? Joshua 1, verse number 7. They're getting ready to go into the land that God has given them. And they got a different leader now. Moses was with those other two commands. Now you got Joshua. And God tells Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whither thou goest. In other words, what are you supposed to do? Stick with the word. Stick with the word. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Listen, this shouldn't even have to be said because of the nature of God. When God gives His Word is perfect. He's perfect. He gave His Word. Perfect and holy. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-infinite. He's given us what we need to know. Amen? He's given us what we need to know. And we're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. Eve mocked to God by adding to His Word. I want you to see that Adam and Eve both mocked to God by disobeying His Word. Genesis 3, verse number 6. Says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, I don't know how she figured that out. That's the bug that Satan put in her mind. How can you look at a tree and think that tree's going to make you wise? And it was what Satan had said in verse number 5. Your eyes are going to be open, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, she decided this was going to be one that's a tree that's should be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Kind of get the idea that he's kind of standing right there nearby when this takes place. Disobeying God is mocking His Word. When we disobey God, it's an attitude of, okay, God said it, so what? Wait a minute. This is the God of the universe. I mean, it's minimizing God's being. Don't you understand who God really is? We need to be careful about God's Word. See, disobeying God is not only mocking His Word, but disobeying God is mocking His authority. It's an attitude that says, God said it, but I'm going to call the shots in my life. I'm my own authority. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know? Some preacher's not going to tell me what to do. Some old ancient books are not going to tell me what to do. And your old God, He's not going to tell me what to do. It's mocking His authority. A third thing about Adam and Eve, they both mocked God by trying to conceal their sin rather than confess their sin. They created what I call the first church of the fig leaves. Because that's what religion is. It just tries to cover up sin. We see the first man-made religion in verse 7 and 8. And Satan was right. The eyes of them both were opened. But it wasn't what they were hoping for. Okay? And they knew that they were naked. They knew there's a problem here. And they knew something had changed. Right? And it says, and they sewed fig leaves together there and made themselves aprons. Somehow when I visualize a fig tree, we had a big fig tree in our yard where I grew up at. Fig leaves are not a good source for clothing. You try to sew them together, not good. But here we see man's first man-made religion. You know, religion shows man knows that there's a problem. That's what it does. Religion shows that man knows there's a problem. Many missionaries have pointed out that even the heathen know more than we think they might know. They know that there's a God. The heathen know there's a God. You know, there are no atheists among heathen tribes. Not one heathen tribe they've ever gone out and talked to has ever been we don't believe that there's a God. That wasn't the way it is. It's not the way it is. Isn't it strange how man gets all educated in humanistic educational institutions and comes up with this foolish idea that there is no God? That's why the Bible calls him a fool. He's an educated fool. He's been educated far beyond his intelligence, is the way I like to say. Because God put within him a God consciousness. And you'll find it in all over the world. There has never been discovered upon earth a tribe of people, however small or depraved they might be, which has not believed in some kind of God or had some kind of worship system. See, religion shows that man knows there's a problem. And they're trying to reach out to God. The heathens seem to know that they're sinners. They found so-called primitive tribes that know they've sinned. When a Christian comes to them and talks to them, he often finds they're already acknowledging in their life that they've done wrong and that their God's upset with them because they've done wrong and that they're doing things, offering sacrifices to their God to try to make up for it. They seem to know that their sins must be punished. They seem to be afraid of punishment and afraid of death, as are most men everywhere. They know that sin must be atoned for, and so they seek for ways of appeasing their angry God or gods. But it doesn't work because it takes a perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, educated man pushes away from the idea of God and religion, and he denies that there is a problem, or that even that there is a God. So, we see religion shows that man knows there's a problem. Second thing religion does, religion conceals instead of confessing. They knew they were naked in verse number 7. They sewed fig leaves together, made aprons. They're trying to cover up, aren't they? Trying to conceal. Fig leaves, really? Religion cannot adequately cover our sins. Only God can. In fact, we see later on in Genesis 3, look down in verse number 21. And God teaches them this truth, that the provision must come from God. And it takes a sacrifice. It says in verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Now listen, if he made them coats of skins, what had to happen? An animal had to die. Can you imagine the animals that Adam named, him seeing one of those have to give his life for him to have a covering? You think God was teaching him something there? I think so. It was that's the first sacrifice pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. See, religion doesn't attack the inward problem, but it only deals with the outward problem. They tried to cover their nakedness. Their nakedness was the results of their sin. So they tried to cover the results of their sin rather than deal with their sin. What should they have done? Run to the Lord and throw themselves on the mercy of the Lord, right? Well, what did they do? Well, they first tried to cover up and then they tried to hide. Religion attempts to hide from God rather than run to God. There in verse number 8, Genesis 3:8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Now, I want you to picture this now. Picture this. They know they're in a lot of trouble. They hear the voice of the Lord. Can you imagine the fear that swelled up in them? Because they talked about that they were afraid. So they go to hide, which you can't get away from God. You can't get away from Him. See, religion attempts to hide from God rather than run to God. The problem is we can't hide from the One who is omnipresent and omniscient. I told you I was going to go to Psalm 139. Hold your place here in Genesis and go to Psalm 139 for just a minute. (Clears throat) Psalm 139. And I want you to look at verse number 7. Psalm 139, verse number 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Nowhere to run to. Nowhere to hide. That's the way it is with God. Religion still attempts to try to hide from God rather than run to God. And then religion doesn't alleviate the guilt or the real condition. Look back at Genesis chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 9. It says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, did God know where he was at? Yeah, all the time. What was he doing? Trying to extract a confession out of him. God knew what was wrong. God knew man had sinned. Look at verse 10. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that I was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Adam and Eve, we see here, they mocked God in verse 12. And here God has gotten them, and they should be confessing. They say, man, we messed up, throwing themselves on the mercy of God. But no, what do? They try to pass the buck. Look at verse number 12 and 13. To the answer to the question, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? They try to push it off. 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now he's blaming the woman, but indirectly you see here he's blaming God. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. In other words, the devil made me do it. It don't fly. Didn't fly in the days that Flip Wilson used it and on his television program, and it don't fly today. The devil made me do it. Adam and Eve mocked God by their attempts to blame others and even God for their sinful condition. So, we see here that what God said would happen, happened. Okay? Though mocked by Satan, and mocked by mankind, God and His Word stood. When they ate of it, death entered. Sin's curse entered. Man died spiritually that day when he sinned. And he was separated from God. Man was in desperate need of a Savior. And God stepped in with a remedy and the covering for sin. But listen, some mock the reality and the simplicity of God's provision rather than believe on it. You know, every time the gospel is preached, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture and provided that one sacrifice that we need. He gave Himself. Willingly gave Himself on the cross of Calvary, and He died for our sins, according to Scripture. And He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to Scripture. They'll mock at it. They'll be scornful at it. But see, one day, they'll stand before the same God, the God they have sinned against, God we've all sinned against. And if you got the blood of Jesus Christ covering your sin, you'll be okay. But if all you've done is mock by not just doing what God said, how do you get saved? Well, you got to believe in His only begotten Son, right? Now, if you've not believed in His only begotten Son, that's mocking and saying, I don't believe that. God said it, but I don't believe it. Yeah? And you're going to find one day, when you stand before Him, you'll say, hey, if you had just done what I told you to do, you could be in heaven with me. But depart from me, you that work iniquity, into everlasting hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. I wonder this morning, are you guilty this morning of mocking God in some area of your life? Even Christians can mock God. God tells us not only how to have salvation, but God tells us how to live, doesn't He? And you know, I can't tell you how many times people have gone against the Word of God, and then they go, well, I just don't understand what happened. I don't know why God was coming down on me. I said, well, you know, the Word of God says this, and you're living in violation of God's Word. What do you expect was going to happen? They think they can mock God. We can't even mock God as Christians. We must take Him at His Word. And I wondered, you know, are you here? First of all, do you know Christ as your Savior? If not, stop mocking Him and believe on Him. And if you do know Him, don't mock the rest of the Scripture. Know that what God has for us is the best. You know God has the best life for us. It's not that He's being an ogre. It's what's best for us. We abide by His Word, things go better for us. We don't, chastisement follows. Yeah? And sometimes the chastisement, all the Lord's got to do is just let sin have its reign. Yeah? Just let sin have its way. That's one of the worst punishments, is when you are a victim, people like that word victim, of your own sin. You sin, and the consequences of doing that are on you from the sin itself. If that be the case, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your loving grace in our lives. Thank You for meeting our needs the way that You do. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Help us not to mock Your Word. But Lord, help us to believe Your Word and obey Your Word. And there might be somebody here today that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior. Help them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus today. Help them to come get some help down front here. Have somebody take them aside and show them from Your Word what they need to do in order to have eternal life. But those of us that are Christians, Lord, help us to look in our lives and see if we've been guilty of mocking You. And if we have, help us to turn from that, repent of our sin, and get right with You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, if you're able. Play a hymn of invitation. Altar's open. I'm down front to help, if I can be of help to you.